Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
I hope as you listen to the show every week that you are starting to get the idea that my guests and myself are all about sharing ideas to help you on this road of change, wherever that is for you. But ultimately, I think it's always about building relationships, scaling your business, ultimately growing your income. And at the end of the day, it's about creating the life you desire, which is really on target for today's discussion. So as always, thanks for joining us this week. So my motivational quote today is by Brad Gast. Brad says, no matter what happens, no matter how far you seem to be away from where you want to be, never stop believing that you will somehow make it. Have an unrelenting belief that things will work out, that the long road has a purpose, that the things you desire will not happen today, but they will happen. Persist and persevere. Your desired path remains possible. So here's a question for you to contemplate. You know, are you living the life you've always imagined and desire? You know, do you even know what your dream life looks like, so maybe even feels like? These are pretty heavy questions to think about. The real question, though, is do you think you deserve your dream life? And perhaps this maybe is the starting point for you to start creating that life that you desire. Well, today, my guest, of course, is an expert on this topic. Her name is Sloan Fremont. And Sloan lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and is the host of her own podcast called Create What You Speak podcast, and she too is on webtalkradio.net. Now, in 2017, Sloan was unhappy and living an unfulfilled life, so she started to change her thoughts, which quickly turned into completely changing her life in 3 short months. She quit her job, sold her house, moved to Nashville, got a new job, bought a new house, and she did all of that while creating a life that she absolutely loves. So after all these changes happening, she saw proof that she could really direct her life to what she wants based on her thoughts, and that's what she discusses on her podcast and actually what we're going to discuss today. So she shares real-life examples of not only how to change your thoughts, but what happens when you do. And you know what? You actually get the things that you want. It's like magic. So please help welcome Sloan to the show, and a warm welcome. So Sloan, thank you for taking the time being on and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, Connie. I'm so excited to be here, and I love your enthusiasm with the intro. Oh. It's fun to hear my story again, because sometimes I forget the things that I did.
It's true. We're really good at looking back at saying, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, instead of saying, holy crap, like, look at all the stuff that I got done, as well as, you know, our goals for the future. So, yeah, thanks. I'm glad that it reminds you of who you are and, you know, what you've been doing with your life, you know, these past few months. So, happy to have you on. So do me a favor, in addition to what I just introduced, obviously, in the introduction, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background as well as your podcast so my listeners could get a vibe and a feel of who you are?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, like you said in the intro, my podcast is called Create What You Speak, and I developed that out of my own life experiences. So, you know, in the intro, you talked about how I quit my job, sold my house, bought a new house, moved to Nashville, all this stuff. And all this stuff happened so fast in like 3 months. And at the end of that, I looked back and I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? Like, it was like my brain couldn't process what, you know, how quickly that the world around me had changed. And so, you know, my background is in consulting. I do, I work with data and numbers and, you know, that kind of stuff, very logical thinking. And so the things that I did, like I remember talking to some of my consulting friends about this afterwards, and, you know, it just didn't compute for them, right? Because we were all in this like logic based background, and nobody could really understand how I did it so quickly. Even I, you know, as I was going through it, it didn't, it took, like I said, it took me a while to catch up, but, you know, what I realized was that how much power I actually have, and we all have it, right? It's not just me. Anybody can do this. It was just, I made the choice to do something different, and doing something different, it started with changing my thoughts. I was in such a bad place. I was in, it's, you know, every day it was just this drudgery of like feeling like I was living my life on the sidelines. And when I decided, the day I decided, and I remember this day, I was laying in my bed, and it was like, I like cried out. I don't even know who I cried out to, right? It was just, somebody help me. Something has to change. Hmm. And I felt this like release in my body. And after that, it was like I knew to take the next logical step. Right. And I, looking back, like, it's almost hard to verbalize because a lot of it was like I went on feeling, like what felt good, but just being able to listen to my own, to myself and start following things that felt good to me, and then seeing the results in my own life. And that's what I talk about on the show. I talk about those things that I do, things that work for me. I even talk about the things that don't work, right? Because I think that's just as important to be able to talk about when we think about, you know, the topics that you and I talk about, because I think people, you know, sometimes only see the good, like on social media, we only see when somebody's up, and we forget that sometimes they're down too. So I try to talk about both sides of that, so people, you know, can hopefully relate.
It's interesting because, yeah, Facebook, LinkedIn, I call it the comparaphobia, right?
Right.
We're comparing our life today at maybe at our lowest point with, mm-hmm. you know, the happy pictures in life. And you think, wow, my life sucks. You know, why mm-hmm. does my friend or my colleague have this beautiful life? And I'm, you know, I'm here in despair. So,
right.
yeah, we can't do the comparaphobia, which is hard because social media is such a huge part of our life, of, you know, of our world right now. So a couple of things you said that I just want to circle back that I want my listeners to really understand and process what you just said. You listen to your gut and your intuition, even though you can't articulate, you were listening to your intuition and gut reaction too. This is bad, whatever was going on. I need to do something differently. That mm-hmm. moment of change, right? I need
right.
that change. Unsure of what it potentially was, but you knew it couldn't go on anymore. And the other thing you said is that you kind of sat there in that moment of despair in your room and you listened to yourself. What
right.
a concept. And
right,
we,
right.
we're running so damn fast in life that I think we forget to stop and listen to our own intuition, our own inner voice, which really knows what we need. We just have quieted and pushed it down for so long that we forget how to listen. And for me, it's my gut. I know
yeah.
when my gut is screaming, I know, stop, man, you got to stop,
mm-hmm.
refocus because something's going on. You're feeling it and we all feel it. Some of us are just better at honing that skill. So
right.
I have to, and I think that's really an essence what you said, and I spot on agree with everything you know you just said with that first question. So here's my next question. Can you share, and if you're not comfortable, that's cool, but can you share what was so bad in your life? Bad's mm-hmm. the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you were in this
yeah.
point of, holy crap, this sucks, right? What was that? What was the feeling? What was it
right.
like? What was the situation? I believe people resonate with stories and can
yeah.
relate. Oh, my friend. Oh, that's me. Do you mind sharing that?
No, gladly. So here's the thing, like we had just talked about with the social media. If you looked at my life on the outside, I was probably one of those people that other people would say, oh, she's got this perfect life, right? Everything looks so good, right? On the outside. But what was going on inside was like the complete opposite. I mean, the relationship I was in with the boyfriend I had was terrible. I was completely drained by that. And it was just terrible. The job I was in, again, I do consulting work, and my career at that time was, you know, it was that hustle, that grind, that you got a bill, you know, push, more, and more was never enough. And I was burnt out on that. I was, you know, I didn't feel like my social life was that exciting. I mean, I had some friends, but not, you know, I just didn't, I felt kind of lost. Like I was living my life on the sidelines. Like everybody else was, you know, having this or that happen. And I felt like it wasn't going where I wanted it to go. And again, bad is just based on perception. Right? It's just how we perceive it at that moment. But I think it was more how I felt about everything on the inside. It was that unsettled feeling I had going on inside of me, or that feeling like, God, there's got to be more than this, right? Is this what I'm going to do the next, you know, however many years of my life, right? There's got to be more than this.
It's so funny because everybody listening, if they haven't felt like this at some point in their life, then you're not living.
Right.
You know, because We've all hit that brick wall where you think, really? I'm getting, you know, what's the movie? Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm doing the same thing I've done for the past year, and I'm not loving it. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not fulfilled. And
Right. We
stay in bad relationships. We stay in bad jobs because, okay, it's a paycheck. It's a good paycheck. What if I can't find another job that fulfills me and pays me? But we all do that. We're human. We all go through that same brain kind of thinking that we don't know the unknown. So that's why my show, Enlightenment of Change, we're so afraid of what if or what could be because I know what I have, right? So
right.
I might jump from the frying pan into the fire. Oh, that wouldn't be good. So we choose, and I use that word deliberately, we choose not to do anything. And what I tell people when I'm coaching and whatever, and they say, you know, well, I don't have a choice. You know, my head almost explodes.
Yeah, you always have a choice. Yeah.
You always have a choice. And sometimes it's not an easy choice, but you always have a choice. Sometimes not making a decision is the choice you make.
Exactly. Right.
And that's dangerous.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what you were just saying, for me at that point, the fear of staying the same was greater than any fear of change at that point, because I was so, I couldn't take another second of this sameness that was going on for me. And again, it wasn't that it looked, you know, like I said, and people looking out or looking on the outside in would have thought, oh, her life is great. She's got a great job. You know, she's got this or that or the other. But, you know, and I think another part of that is we change as people too, right? Like we go through like, at, you know, 5 years prior to that, it was great. Everything was happy. But, you know, as time went on, I wasn't happy anymore. And I think that's another thing that I've noticed, at least with myself, is that things that once fulfilled me, when they no longer fulfill me, then I feel like bad about changing that. I feel like, why are you changing this? You know, this is good, right? You don't know what to expect if you move to something different. So I think there was some of that going on with me too, as, you know, why would you want to change this? You know, it works.
Yeah. And the guilt of,
yeah,
how dare I not feel gratitude for this,
right,
when, you know, I'm making all this money and I have this great job. I hate it, but I have this great job.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. We're zombies. And I don't know if you watch The Walking Dead or The Fear of the Walking Dead, two of my favorite shows. Actually, one of my friends, her son is one of the actors on it. So I totally love the show even more, you know, cause I know people. Right. But, I often say that we are zombies walking through our life, and we think that we're living and we're not. And in this statistic, I want to say it was back in maybe 2018, the Gallup poll that 70% of Americans, probably is internationally, but 70% of Americans, Sloan, hate their jobs.
Yeah.
And yet we stay there because of that fear of what if I can't make this money? So yeah, everything you're saying is, if it's not resonating with my listeners, then they probably did, because there is no pulse then, right?
It's right.
Yeah.
And that's part of living too, though, right?
Yeah.
The part of living is being able to go through that and being okay with changing and wanting more. Cause I think that's part of, you know, guilt that comes up for people too. At least I've noticed within myself is feeling guilty for wanting more, like wanting it more, and more could mean anything. It can be more money. It could be more, you know, a different situation, a different job, a different relationship, whatever that is. Like, I think we feel bad for wanting more sometimes, and we shouldn't. That's part of life. Part of life is that growth and that expansion and that morphing into, you know, these different versions of ourselves that feel good to us.
And you know what's funny with what you just said? People fear success also.
Right. Oh, yeah. And 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember it was a few years ago. I have a friend and, she sees angels. I know people think I'm a wackadoo when I talk about this, but, I know, me either. I love it. I love the concept. Right.
Yeah, me too. Uh-huh.
So I went to one of her workshops right here in Jersey and in Belmar, and, we were doing these workshop things, right? Exercises, and we had to write in journals and all this stuff. And so she, one of the exercises, she was observing our angels and what messages they were sharing. And she went around the room and she skipped me. And I'm like, oh, why did she skip me? I go, maybe my angels don't have anything to say to me, right? Immediately that negative self-talk.
Right, exactly. Right, right, right.
Or I thought, is she going to, does she not want to tell me something? Maybe my angels are saying something bad. Right. Go to that bed.
Negative. Yeah. Yep.
So net, she skips me. And then at the end, she saves me for last. And this is so funny, Sloan. She says, and you, I go, okay, what'd I do? She says, your angels are yelling at you right now. I'm like, why? And she said, you're afraid of success. And I Yeah, I paused and I really thought about what she, because my, you know, my angels were calling me out. And I looked at her and I said, I am. And she said, like, why, you moron? Right. That was kind of the essence of it.
Right.
And the reality was, I was afraid that people were going to think, oh, she's successful because she's a crook. Oh, she's successful because she rips people off. And at that moment, I also reflected on an event that happened. I was 5 or 6 years old, where an adult that was in my orbit said something about people who had money were crooks.
Right.
So I, as a kid, right, you internalize that, not even realizing it. Fast forward now in my 50s, you know, again, my angels called me out and said, like, what are you doing, you idiot? And at that moment, everything shifted for me, because people that know me and love me know I'm not a crook. No, I'm honest to the, you know, I have the most integrity of anybody that my friends and colleagues know. So, but we get stuck in that self-talk, that negative talk.
Stories.
It's our stories. Yeah, our crap. We live in our crap.
Right. And that's why I talk about that a lot on the show, about stories. And even when I met my boyfriend now, that was one of the first things we talked about. He's like, you know, asked me, how can I stay on your good side? I'm like, don't tell the stories. Don't tell the stories about yourself that, or about me, that you don't know are true. Right. And the same goes for me about him. Right. And so I think, you know, that's one of the things, and especially now with, you know, just with the way, you know, we're all spending more time at home, or, you know, for me, I'm more isolated because I live alone. And, I've had to really, really watch the stories that are wanting to run wild. And just like your story, like when you were a kid, right, of thinking people who are successful are crooks. Like, see, that would never enter my mind. For me, it would be that, for me, it's more of being on stage, so to speak, for success, right? Like, instead of being behind the scenes. And so the stories are, to me, the stories shape your life. And if you're not telling a good story, you're not shaping a good life for yourself.
Yeah.
So those, I think, are, it's just critical to living a life that you want to live.
Yeah, agree. And we could create any story we want. What's right. that song by Natasha Bedingfield? Tomorrow's a blank piece of paper or blank book, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fill it with, it's one of my favorite. And when you really, if you have the time, Google it and look at the words. Oh my God. If you look at the actual words within that book, it is truly a song to live by, because you know, your past is your past. Can't go back and change it.
Right.
So why not look forward, and what do you want to create, and just go out and create it. So go ahead. You want to say something?
I was just going to say, yeah, real quick, you know, we can believe anything we want to believe, right? We don't, just because our thoughts come up, it doesn't mean that they're true, and we don't have to believe them. And that's a choice that we get to make. And that's something else that I really try to focus on, you know, within myself and with, when I talk about on the show, because it's just because the thought comes up, it doesn't mean that it's what you have to, you can choose any belief you want. And that's, well, on the one hand, people are like in disbelief about that. On the other hand, it's so freeing to look at your life that way. Because if you're going to choose, why not choose the good beliefs? Why not choose the ones that feel good, right?
And we all deserve it. That's the
exactly,
other, that's
100%.
The irony. Yeah, we deserve
exactly.
it. And yet we think we deserve to live in penance or whatever.
Right. For we have to life. Suffer. I agree.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. Life should be a joyride, man. I always say, when I die, you know, 100 years from now, because I'm going to live well into my hundreds. Mm-hmm. When I do die, I'm sliding into that coffin, worn out and living large, right? And people look back going, holy crap, how did she do all that in a lifetime, right? That's my end game.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So now, next question. I know everybody's thinking, so what makes your approach so unique? Everything we're talking about, they're like, yeah. Why, Sloan, is your story or your approach so terrific?
Well, you know, that's a matter of opinion, right? And everybody, you know, has theirs. But I guess what I really try to do on the show, and what I think is important, and really how I try to live my life, is, like I said, kind of in the intro, that about giving, you know, I don't always talk about everything good. I talk about the thing, like if I'm not feeling good, if I'm feeling low, or if I'm struggling with something, I talk about that. Like, I want the show to be real. I want people to see both sides of it, so they can also see how I come out of that too, right? Because I think it's really easy to get stuck in our, like we talked about, in our own stories, or think that this is just the way it is, or, you know, whatever. And so I really try to give that full picture, not just the good, right? Not just the perfect picture of how I, because it's not always perfect. And I want to be real about that. And I also want to be, you know, kind of like what you said at the beginning about your show, you know, I want to, here's some options for you. What resonates with you? What my goal is to give somebody, you know, a different way of thinking about something, a different way of approaching or looking at something with the hope that they can take that and, you know, use it in a way that works for them. I think a lot of times we fall into maybe feeling like we have, especially let's use like a diet or exercise as an example. Like we feel like we have to do it, you know, by the book, and it has to be this way. And if we don't, even if we don't like it, or even if it doesn't feel good, or even if we're hurting or we're hungry or whatever, right? We stick to that plan, even though it doesn't fit for us. Right. And that doesn't generally for most people work because it's not sustainable. It doesn't feel good, you know, all these things. But when we just look at things as an option and we can pick the options that feel good for us, to me, that approach has worked for me in my life when I've, you know, wanted to grow and expand. And I also think that way of looking at things, it just feels better, right? It feels good to not have the pressure of, oh my God, I have to do it this way or I'm not going to do it right, you know?
Yeah, because it's this right or wrong, right?
Yes.
And the reality is, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. we all have a little piece of all of that. So
right. That
idea of perfection is dangerous because there is no such thing as perfection or the perfect way. And it's funny, you just said something, and I hope I articulated this well at the beginning of the show. For me, my show is all about helping people take off those blinders or that linear, very narrow view of life and saying, listening to us talk today and say, oh, maybe something you say will resonate that will make them pause and think and say, I never thought about it from that perspective.
Right.
So if I can help people take those blinders off and go from that very narrow vision to this very expansive vision, that's really what my show is about, because everybody is struggling with change. You know, COVID, the world stopped, right?
Right.
So, and we all have a COVID story. We're all
we all
dealt with it in a different way, felt about it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. It's not right or wrong, good or bad. It just is. So own that and identify with it and create that bigger perspective. So you use all of these learnings and information and apply them to make us better. And better doesn't have to mean that you're making more money or you're more successful, but you feel better inside, that you wake up every day, you know, kind of kicking your feet, going, woohoo, today's another day. And I think we're walking zombies in life. So I love your message. I live your message. And I think that it's easier than most people think. So do me a favor. Tell everybody or share with us your favorite manifestation story or give us an example, because people love stories.
Right. I've got so many. Okay. So I kind of talked to you about my first one when I moved to Nashville, because that was something that I wanted to do. And it happened so fast. And I described that time as like the red carpet was rolled out for me, because it's like, once you get on a roll with this, like, people just get information. They line up. You know, the world serves you. And I think we feel like that's not, you know, that can't happen for us. And, you know, when I moved, it that's the way it went. But are you familiar with Abraham Hicks? Do you listen to any of? Okay. So I'll tell you the story about manifesting when I met Esther from Abraham Hicks, or, you know, she channels. So I have this book where I write, I call it just it's not a bucket list. I don't like that word. It's more like my done list, meaning like anything I write in this book is going to happen, right? It's the things that I want to happen. And so I wrote in there that I wanted to meet Esther, and I wanted to get a picture with her. Cause I had met her twice before and I had talked to her, but I never got a picture with her. And I really wanted, that was one of the things I wanted to do. So I was flying to Atlanta for one of the workshops back. I mean, this is like last year, obviously, and not recently, but so I was flying to Atlanta and I had, you know, I'd written that in my book. I want to meet Esther and I want to get my picture with her. And I just kind of left it at that. And I went on, and I was thinking at that time, I was like, I bet I'll meet her at the Atlanta airport, because I always see people at the airport. Like, living in Nashville, I would always see, you know, famous people at the airport. It was like a joke with my friends. And then once I like picked up that momentum with that, I always saw people, right? It was just the expectation that always came true. So anyway, so I'm in Nashville and I'm flying, getting ready to fly to Atlanta. And I remember that day I wasn't feeling particularly happy. Like, I was annoyed at the airport. It was like really crowded, or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. And I'm standing there and Esther walks right in front of me in Nashville. And I'm like, and I look around, of course, nobody around knows, right? And she's wearing sunglasses. And I'm like, okay, here she is. And this is on my list. And I'm like, okay, so what do I do? And in my head, like you're talking about your angels screaming at you. In my head, like I refer to like the universe. Like the universe was screaming at me, we've laid this out for you. Like literally. I can't walk. I can't do like it. Now you've got to, you know, it's your part to play. Because I didn't want to bug her. I could tell she was running late. You know, we were getting ready for the flight. And so she went over and sat down and she had her person that she travels with next to her. And I just walked over there and I sat down and I was like, Esther, I made this agreement with the universe that I was going to meet you and get your picture or get a picture with you. So can we do that? And she was like, oh, sure, of course. And so I got my picture with her and I'm like shaking, you know, and then it gets better because I get on the plane and I sit behind her because she's right. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm not stalking you. And she's like, started laughing. She's like, no. And then, when I get to the workshop the next day, I sit behind the lady that travels with her. And so the lady looked at me. She's like, how do I know you? I was like, I met you guys at the airport. And she was like, oh yeah. She's like, boy, your desire just must be strong because we just keep running into you. And then after the workshop over in Atlanta, the way the hotel is, it's connected to the mall. And so I walked over to the mall, and I'm not kidding you, I ran into that group three more times, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, like this is like, they're going to think I'm like legit stalking them. Like, it was crazy, but it was just another example of how deciding, because that's a big key in all of this, right? In the stuff that we talk about, it's making that decision. This is what I want, and I'm going to allow myself to have it. And then just getting out of the way and letting things line up. And I could tell you so many stories like that, but that's one of my favorite ones because of the way it all came about.
And I love it. And here, because you really were like a stalker, by the way. She probably was thinking, do I need a restraining order against this chick, right?
And the funny thing was, I didn't even do anything. I just went where I was wanted to go. And there it was. You know what I mean? Which, again, it totally proves the ease of it. It proves the ease of how we can get what we want. It's often we just don't allow it to be that easy.
Well, because we second guess. And, and it's like you said, like you were like she was right in front of you and you're thinking, right. Mm-hmm. I know, universe, you're hitting me. You're literally hitting me with a 2x4 saying, will you introduce yourself and get the stupid picture? And you're thinking she's going to think I'm, you know, the self-doubt, our own self-talk stops us.
Exactly.
It's funny because I think, and what you're saying, I wholeheartedly believe that if we commit to what we believe and we want, but we feel guilty for wanting, mm-hmm. as if we don't deserve it. And the reality is, and I say this all the time, that truly, truly, the universe conspires to give us what we want.
Exactly. But
what we are truly born and entitled to, yet we don't think that's the case. And it's funny because I know so many people who have studied spirituality and the law of the, you know, there's different laws, the universal laws, right? I think there's 12 of them. And, you know, law of reciprocity, all of that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, law of attraction, which is kind of what we're talking about. Law of intention, all of that. And people study it and they could, you know, recite it to you chapter verse, but they don't ever live it.
Right.
And that's the danger, because you can understand something and everybody could understand what we're talking about. You need to actually apply it. So start with something really silly and stupid.
Right.
You know, like with yours, that was a pretty grand thing to meet Esther and actually then getting up, you know, seeing her in 12 different areas. Okay. Yeah. I'm telling you, she has a restraining order on you, by the way, you know, she let me know that yesterday, but you know what I'm saying? And,
right.
but we understand the concept. We aren't good at applying it. So I have a friend, her name is Kate Jettige, and she's a Neville Goddard follower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know who that is. And, I love her, from the UK. She's one of my favorite peeps and has become a real good friend, but she lives and breathes it. So one example she gives is when she was a little girl, she really, really wanted a hamster and they didn't have money, whatever, whatever. So she created, like, from dust bunnies, this hamster.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. And she made a little house for it in a box, like a shoe box or something, and fed it every day and pet it every day and gave it a blanket and create really, like, this dust bunny was a real life hamster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forward. Her mom's like, come on. She's like, where are we going? And she says, we're going to the pet store. And for whatever reason, and her mom didn't know she was doing this, by the way.
Oh.
But yeah. And ultimately, they just went and got the hamster. And she said, oh, my God, like, why did my mother take me to get this hamster? So we create, she uses this, and this was a little kid. She was maybe 6 years old. But she said the power of that creative energy, that power of visualization, that power of literally petting the dust bunny and visualizing it as her little hamster and sending it love and feeling that love for this dust bunny created her getting this hamster. So start with something fun. explore, play, experiment. Yeah. Don't take Sloan or Connie's word for it or Kate's word for it. Explore and play with these little concepts and choose your thoughts wisely, because they really do become our reality pretty darn quickly.
And that's so true, especially, you know, that's probably one of the bigger messages I try to convey in my show is about, you have to see this for yourself, right? Yeah. Like I talked about at the beginning of the show, like my consultant friends who are, you know, so based in logic, like a lot of the stuff that we're talking about there, if you try to logically approach it, you're going to logic your way out of it, right? You're going to pivot right out of it, because it's not take this X, you know, this is the map step one. And then step two, right? It's, you got to feel your way into it. You just got to go with what feels good to you. And like what she did with the hamster. I mean, there was no choice but for that hamster to show up, right? Because she had energetically created it. And it's the same way. It's the same with anything. Like you're saying, like start with something small. Like a lot of times I'll do like a ladybug, a pineapple, and a dragonfly. Those are my three things that I like. If I'm having a day and I'm not really believing that I can do all these things, like universe, show me a ladybug, dragonfly, or pineapple. Those are my three. I don't know why I go to those three things, but you know, doing something like that where, you know, it's not going to impact your life if it doesn't show up, but when it does show up and when you expect it, then you start to see that the power you have, and that's really what this is all about. You and I can talk about it all day, like you said, but until you start seeing these examples in your own life, you're not really going to understand the power. And there's really no point to study it if you're not going to use the power that you have.
Yeah. And my husband laughs. He calls me a little witch because I manifest crap all the time. And sometimes literally it's manifesting a parking spot.
Yeah,
and
they had like to do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so now before I would say, wait, let me talk to my angels. Like it was a joke, right? And I'd say, yeah. wait, come on, I want a spot. I want a really good spot because it's cold out tonight. Mm-hmm. And we'd pull in three, four cars in front of us. They go past, and then the car puts its lights on and pulls out in front of us for us to pull in.
Right.
And he looks at me. This would happen all the time when my kids played hockey and the rinks would get very crowded. And he would go, so now we'd be on the parkway in New Jersey, and he'd say, all right, witch, come on, do your magic spell.
And I love it.
Yeah, it's a stupid little thing, a parking spot, right? But you can manifest.
It shows your power, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Once you start to build that, you build the momentum behind that, right? Like, it's like me at the airport seeing famous people. Now I just come to expect it, and it happens because it's I've proven it to myself time and time again. And so it's like what we talked about with, you know, if we automatically go to the negative thinking about things, and then we're like, see, I told you so. Well, yeah, because that's what you believe to happen, right? But the same can happen with the positive, right? We can start to expect the good, and then we can start to see, wait a minute. Yeah, I can, that can happen for me, right? And then you start to, again, I think at 100% goes back to believing and trusting in yourself.
And we don't, right? We second guess ourselves.
Most people don't, right.
We're human after all, right?
Right.
All right, so we're almost out of time. In your experience, again, living this and kind of playing with it and experimenting with it, why do you think that, or what do you think the number one reason is that most people just aren't living the lives that they want to actually live or that they dream of?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it goes back to what we just talked about with like the self, the doubt and not believing in yourselves. And also I think like giving up too easily on what we want, right? Like I was thinking about this the other day because I had this experience where, I got different food at the store and I got something and I ate it and I was like, oh, I don't like this. And I got something again and I ate it and I didn't like it. And I'm like, I don't like either of those things. And then afterwards I was thinking about it. I'm like, I'm not going to give up on eating. Right? Because I ate two things I didn't like. I'm just going to go get something else or do something, right? And it's the same with whatever we want in our lives, right? Just because it doesn't work the first time or it doesn't work. Oh, I tried to manifest a ladybug and it didn't happen today. Okay. Well, that doesn't mean it's not going to work for you. Just try again, do something different, take a different approach, look at something else, right? So I think it's, you know, for most people, and again, I can speak in this way because I know I lived it. These are the things that I, you know, after being on this other side of really understanding our own power, you know, if I look back to my time before that, when I wasn't really in my power, I would say I can see that consistently what I did was I just gave up. I just took the status quo. I accepted living as a zombie. And, you know, you and I, like, it's like we're here to say it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, we have a choice, you know, and here's the other reality too, Sloan, that I've learned in my life and people I talk to and in my business overall, we're afraid to step out and live and live and just live because we're afraid because it's an unknown and it's dangerous. And it's so funny what you were saying. Okay, so you didn't see the ladybug today. Try it again tomorrow.
Right.
For me, it's almost a muscle memory. And you know, my example before with the silly parking spot. But it became every time we were heading to a game, whether I was thinking about it or not, I manifested the spot.
Right.
Because it was a habit for me without me even realizing it.
Yes.
Because your muscle memory is in place. You just start, things start happening because you're living and breathing it without thinking about it. It's just a part of your essence and it's a part of how you live and how you think. So what we're talking about is you can truly change how you think and you can manifest anything you want. It goes down to you have to believe you can, and you have to believe that you have this power. And I think that I've seen again through my life and my career that people give up their power way too easily.
Oh, yeah.
And that upsets me because I feel everybody has a voice as long as you are respectful in how you deliver your message and articulate, and you're not aggressive or antagonizing or adversarial, but you're respectful. You have a voice. Why are you giving your voice over and letting your boss beat you up or yell at you or, you know, whatever, overlook you for promotions and you know, oh, I'm broke and I'm always going to be broke. Well, you are. If you believe that, you are.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. We believe it's what you believe will become. So it goes back to your thoughts become reality. Choose wisely because we have a choice.
We do. And I think also even it's making the decision to believe too, right? Once the day you decide, like I did that day in my bed, the day I decided, that's because prior to that, I was on the fence, right? I was back and forth. Can I have this? Can I not? You know, and I was in the logic about it. But the day I decided that this is how it was going to go, that's when it went that way. And I think that there's that element of making the decision that then the universe is like, okay, now I'm clear about what you want or your angel or whatever, right? Whatever you believe in.
Right. It's clarity. And I think that's important too. I think we have so much noise in our life that it's very hard to focus on. I'll just share a quick statistic with you. We humans, we can speak at about 200 to 250 words per minute. You and I probably 300.
Probably.
That's about real humans, you know, normal humans are about 200 to 250 words per minute, but our brain capacity is we can listen at 500 words per minute. Mm. So our brain actually has a lot of downtime, and that's where we go into our own self-talk, our own crap.
The stories,
crap a lot, you know, half of the time we're in our own stuff instead of listening and learning and growing and exploring. Half the time we're in our story. So, you know, I hope that statistic helps people too, because we're human and we're not saying that everybody's not human, but you have more control over that 250 words that you're not listening. Stop listening to the bad crap in your head. Right. That's really what we're saying.
Right. And, you know, I think, and none of this is wrong, right? Like I feel for the longest time, I felt like I was doing it all wrong. Like because I felt that way, it was wrong, or because I didn't believe in myself, it was wrong. And it's none of that. It's just deciding to come back to yourself, understand your power, believe in that, and understanding how to be kind to yourself through all of this too, right? Like there's so much learning, there's so much growing, and that's all of that is okay. Like that's all good, right? It's all good. I think we beat up on ourselves too much too.
Well, it's easy. You know, I often think, and I've heard this before, and I try to do it with myself when I'm berating myself. You idiot. Why'd you do that? You shouldn't have done it. Look what happened. You made a mistake. Okay. I made a mistake, right? I'm human. Oh, God forbid. But when I think about that negative self-talk, I think, would you ever say that to one of your, I have two
exactly.
boys. Would you say that to one of your kids? Would you say that to a little child?
No.
And you pause and think, oh my God, I would never say that. Yet it's okay that I say it to myself. It's
right.
Not okay.
No, exactly. And that's where the stories come from, right? Like we're building on these stories every time we tell them, and then they're sticking with us. And so we accept them. And it's kind of like what you talked about with the parking space. You didn't even think about it anymore. It just happened, right? But it can work the opposite way too. When we're so used to having the negative thoughts or expecting the worst, it just automatically happens because we've already like pre-paved that with our belief program. Or our lack of belief. Yeah.
Yeah. Programming. It's all programming. It's all learned behavior, right?
Right. So and it can be changed.
We can be, it can be changed. And what we're saying, guys, we're out of time, but what Sloan and I are saying are play, just play.
Yeah.
Don't make anything heavy. Don't make it, you need a whole new career and you want a mansion. Don't try to go for anything so big. Try to go for a ladybug.
Right. Ladybug, pineapple, or dragonfly. Those are my
three really good choices. You're so funny. So listen, guys, if you want more Sloan, which I think you should, because she's a cool chick in my book, go to her website. It's SloanFremont.com. And Sloan is SLOANE Fremont, FREEMONT. So SloanFremont.com. Or email her if you'd like to pick her brain a little bit. SloanFremont@gmail.com. And I, of course, I will post that on the Enlightenment of Change Web Talk Radio website for you to find her. But I do think you should explore her website and see. Here's the deal. For me, she's credible because she's created. She's lived it. She's done it. And maybe you can learn from her, right? That's the easiest, the path of least resistance. She's here. She's just meet her, talk to her, right? Go on her website, listen to her podcast, and chill with her. So, I'll post all that stuff, for you. So, one last thing, guys, please go to my website, WhitmanAssoc.com, WhitmanAssoc.com. I still am offering my free communication style assessment. Learn maybe why people don't respond to you the way you should be responded to. Maybe it's what you're delivering out there. So take your free communication style assessment. Also, my book, number one, United States and International bestseller. Woohoo! That's on the website as well. Get your copy. And if you need me, Whitman Assoc, you can reach me at my email, Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com as well. So thank you, Sloan, for being on, for being such a great guest. I could talk about this all day.
I know. I think of the same thing. I was like, man, we could talk for hours.
You know, this is my jam, this topic.
Right.
I really, and even with my business, I teach sales, but I want everyone to step into their own personal greatness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if we are great and you choose to have a sales career, you could be great at that, right? And that's my superpower, right? My sales skills, but it's really trying to help people find their voice and communicate more effectively. That's why I have my free communication style assessment. I love people utilizing tools that will help them change today, not mm-hmm. a year from now, but
right.
today. And
right,
I hope some of the tips you shared with the pineapple, the dragonfly, and the ladybug, you know, we're giggling, but, you know, or a parking spot. Use mine.
Yeah.
Use parking spot.
Yeah, parking spot. Yeah.
Nothing that's going to radically hurt your life in any way. But I hope people really took heed to what we're saying and try it, man. Just try it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's key. It's been so fun, Connie. Thank you for having me.
Gotcha. Don't hang up just yet, but thank you for being on and for being a great guest. Yeah. I think we're going to be doing another show. This was just
sounds good to me.
So much fun. You guys, thanks for joining Sloan and I today. And I hope you will join us weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change. I don't care what change you're facing. It's probably easier than you think. And I hope today our discussion and some of the tips and ideas and strategies you can utilize immediately to create the change and embrace the change that you deserve in your life. Because we all deserve to be happy and grateful and loved and just abundant in every aspect of our life. Financially, as well as with the humans that we walk with. So, embrace that change. Sloan, thank you again. Just totally love your energy. And I hope people are walking away feeling on cloud nine now. And I really hope they feel that from your and my conversation.
Thanks, Connie. Me too.
Yeah, really enjoyed you today. So you guys, you've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. As always, thank you for joining us. And I do hope that you were inspired. And I also hope that you try one of our tricks out. Report back to Sloan and I. We'd love to hear. Thanks, everybody.